section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Is WWE programming getting shopped? Another wrestler passes, and the WWE Network launches this Monday. All this and much, much more this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Take what you wanna take. Don't leave me here. Last thing, leap years out for your fear. I'm the one, one and only love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So what's going on with CM Punk, Aaron?
So there was a rumor going around this past weekend that CM Punk was actually granted an early release from the WWE. That actually was quickly shot down. But I want to ask you, Andy, do you think it would be a good idea for WWE to give him an early release?
Well, remember when WCW did that thing with Chris Jericho where he wrestled every time, everywhere, all the house shows, except he never wrestled on live TV? Because they knew he was going to the WWE. Well, in this case, you can do the same thing with CM Punk. You pay him, and maybe he gets cold for a little bit, or maybe he doesn't. Or maybe he finally realizes, hey, I'm WWE bound for life. You know, it's just one of those weird situations. I love the fact that the only reason the rumor started is because the fact that they saw CM Punk and AJ Lee together in Chicago.
Well, so I actually think it could be a good thing for them to give him an early release, not necessarily because they'd be afraid he would go elsewhere. If he went to TNA, it actually could be a good thing for WWE because it could spark more interest in the sport of professional wrestling. But he's not going to bring fans to TNA. I mean, he's not. If CM Punk showed up on TNA tomorrow, I guess I couldn't say tomorrow. I mean, if he showed up on Thursday, he would then spark a ton of interest he would not spark a ton of interest in TNA. He would spark a little bit, and they may get a small bump in the ratings. But when somebody like Hulk Hogan shows up and they don't get a ton of interest, it says that there's something else there. It's not just the people. So I think that if they gave him an early release, it would do two things. It would make they would have a better relationship. And so he could come back at another time if they wanted him to. In all honesty, I don't think that he would really wrestle anywhere else for an extended period of time if he was granted an early release.
Ring of Honor, dude. I believe that he would actually go there.
Yeah, but he wouldn't wrestle for extended periods
of time. He might just go there to wrestle maybe. I don't think he's ever wrestled Kevin Steen. And I think he said at one point he'd love to. Here's my thoughts on this whole situation, and then we can get past it. The whole thing with CM Punk is that he was frustrated. This is not a storyline. We know this now. I believe that when everything is clear, he'll say, okay, let me get one more run. Because I think the real reason why he quit is that he was not headlining WrestleMania 30. That's what I truthfully believe. I just wish that he would go at least till WrestleMania 31, wrestle the main event, win, and retire. And then I don't think you would ever see him again.
But anyway, enough about CM Punk, though, for this week. Yes. WWE, they did not reach a deal with NBC Universal for WWE programming. And so that means that they can now formally shop around Raw, SmackDown, and all their other properties. And so I got to ask you, do you think that they will leave the NBC Universal brand?
You know, I've been thinking about this for a while. Once this news broke, I was trying to figure out, okay, there has to be a catch some way, somehow. I can't find the catch yet. I believe that someone will buy them, will buy the ability to show them on their,
who is not NBC.
Who is not NBC, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I would love to see like ESPN do it, but they won't.
No, of course not.
CBS could do it because I think they own Spike.
Oh, you
as
mean
well.
Viacom?
Viacom, yes, I believe, yeah. Viacom. That wouldn't surprise me. It would be cool if Fox did it, though. Let's say Fox did it Monday nights. But here's the problem: Fox is always about, they have 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central newscast. They're always an hour before everyone else.
Yeah,
that's the only thing
market,
I would
though.
See that
it's
would be different.
Different in every market, and you know that they would change that. You know that they could.
But it's one night, though. That's the thing. They would have to change it every night. They couldn't just say, this is how it is.
No, all they have to do is just say, you know, and you'll see your local news right after Monday Night Raw. And that's all you got to do. To talk about Viacom, I think that they could be a pretty good one that they could go to. You do have Comedy Central. You do have MTV, of course. I mean, they wouldn't be on there.
Oh, they could run Superstars on Comedy Central.
Because it is pretty hilarious. So, I think that could be good. But they do have some other properties as well. And I think the biggest one that we're kind of neglecting is Spike. So they have – Viacom owns Spike, which obviously TNA is on, and they do have a contract with them. I believe it's through 2017. I could be off by a year or two, but they do have a contract with them that they renewed. So that would be the only sticking point with them. I think that they will stay with NBC Universal. I think NBC Universal would actually be stupid to get rid of them. You know, they did that one time, and then they just ended up going right back. And I think that NBC Universal and WWE will reach an agreement and they will stay with them.
Yeah, but here's my thing about this, okay? Okay, hypothetically, let's say it gets to the point, it's crunch time. They have to make a deal at this moment. No one else is buying. Do you think it's going to be because of the WWE Network?
No, I don't believe that would be the case at all. When you have a program that is one of the top-rated programs on cable television, there will be a lot of people who will be vying for that. And in fact, there's one that you did not name, and that's Turner. I could see them going to TBS. No. I could see that.
I don't see that. I think once WCW folded, I think that was it.
I know why they folded, right?
Because Eric Bischoff doesn't know how to run a company properly?
That's what the uneducated person would think, but the educated fan would know that it was because of AOL, and it was the AOL Time merger. That's the biggest reason.
Oh, yeah, that was going on.
Anyway, Andy, let's get on to some sad news.
Yeah.
Viscera, Big Daddy V, Mabel, passed away this past week. And, I don't know if you had any fond memories of him or not.
Didn't he win King of the Ring?
He did.
Yeah, they did.
Not everybody that won King of the Ring was a superstar.
Stone Cold was.
Yes, he was.
Owen Hart. Booker T.
The one thing, my biggest memory of him was actually when he did a leg drop onto Undertaker very incorrectly and crushed his face to the point where Undertaker had to wear the mask.
Okay. The best one that I remember that is legit is that he was doing a match with Diesel at the time, and Diesel was on face down. And he jumped on his lower back, full weight, butt onto the back of his spine. Nash said that he hated him for that. And he also said that he actually had trouble walking afterwards.
I wasn't surprised. I mean, he was a big man. He weighed close to 500 pounds.
6'7", 500 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a big guy. And, you know, he was 43 years old, I believe. And, you know, a lot of times, I mean, your body can't take that. It just cannot take that type of punishment. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Unfortunately, he passed away with a heart attack. And, it is unfortunate to see wrestler go so soon.
And the last time we saw him, WWE told him to go home because they said he was way too out of shape. And they said, get in shape and come back. And then we never saw him ever again. In fact, it was so long ago that Matt Hardy was the ECW champion at that time. That's how long ago that's been. So let's move on. So Dish Network, as of right now, has dropped all WWE pay-per-views. Hey, they still are doing TNA's lockdown, though, but mm-hmm. they are not doing any WWE pay-per-views. Is this because of the WWE Network?
Yes, it is. ifs, ands, or buts about it.
But here's the problem, Aaron. Elimination Chamber is Sunday. The network launches on Monday.
Yes.
You want the money still. You'll get, you know, remember, they split DirecTV and Dish Network and most cable, and not all cable companies, but most of them split it 50-50. That means if Dish usually, we'll just say Dish gets thrown 50,000 buys, right? So 50,000 buys, and we'll just say that they get $30 on each one of them, okay? That's $150,000 that they could have got.
Yeah.
That's what they lost.
That is assuming that they get that type of a split. I don't know exactly. I don't know if you did. Did you do research on
it? I did a lot of research on it. Now, cable companies.
Oh, you did a lot of research on it.
I did,
Aaron. You spent six hours today doing research on it.
I spent 30 minutes and the Observer actually said
You spent 30 minutes doing research on that, really?
I seriously did because I was trying to figure out what's the rumor is that with Comcast is that they get a little more out of Comcast and Time Warner.
So they can lose that much. To talk about that. And it's not a bad thing necessarily for them to do it. They are saying to WWE that we want a bigger share of the pie because more people will not be purchasing it through us. Because let's just think about it. Let's just do the numbers real quick. $10 a month or $50? Which one are you going to pay?
Exactly.
I mean, it's simple. It's very simple. So if I was a company who was going to be carrying these pay-per-views. Look, WrestleMania this year, for I would imagine the pay-per-view buys outside of the network, I would guess would probably be maybe 50 to 100,000 outside the network.
100,000, I'd say at least.
I would say 50 to 100 would be my guess. You know, okay. I know no way to back that up. It's just a gut feeling because I believe that the majority of people will buy the network instead. And so if you think about that, 50 to 100,000, that's going to be, of course, divided out through Dish, DirecTV, you know, Time Warner, AT&T, Comcast, and all the other companies, right? So Dish may get 10,000 buys, maybe, you know, so they would get, you know, $40,000, you know, $30,000 or whatever out of it. They want more because they know that they're going to get those numbers chopped in half pretty much or even less based on going to the network.
I never thought of it that way. That is awesome. Thank you for stating that. Wow. Great point of view. I'm amazed by this right now because technically they could say, hey, we'll get you. We'll give you 80% now because most people are going to get on the network.
Yeah,
that I completely understand where you're going with that. I never even thought about it, dude. Genius. Thank you. Anyways, so let's talk about something that came out a few weeks ago. Now Jeff Jarrett and Toby Keith were actually trying to buy TNA. You know, forget about the trademark thing that's going on, but they actually had a when the deal was going through, there was actually a clause in there that stated that Dixie Carter would stay as on-air talent and that there was no sale of the company, she would be there, but they never said for how long. Now, that's the major thing. They said that's the one thing that they won't do the deal just because of that. And it's been confirmed by two different other sources that this is true. Do you think that this is basically TNA shooting themselves in the foot now?
No, not at all. I think that it's kind of a moot point. I wouldn't want Toby Keith to be running my company. I would want a business person to be running my company. If I had a company the size of Ring of Honor, TNA, or WWE, I don't want someone who is a big wrestling fan. I want someone who is a promoter. I want someone who is a businessman who is going to take us from making $10 million a year to $15 to $20 to $30. That's what I want. And so I mean, Toby Keith, I don't know. I wouldn't want him to be the guy to run it.
He's not going to be the one to run it, but they wanted to make it so Dixie Carter would stay there as on-air talent for, we'll just say, X amount of time. Well, for we'll say for a year. And that's the main point that Toby Keith and Jeff Jarrett said, listen, we can just go start our own company and we don't have to deal with your debt.
That's fine. I mean, they can start their own company and they won't do a successful job. So,
well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. So let's talk about WWE program for this week. So here's what's going on. Batista's supposed to main event WrestleMania 30, but no one cares. And by the way, did you hear one
thing? You're the only one that doesn't care.
Actually. Well, I don't care, but here's something interesting. They started pushing something on Raw. They said that Randy Orton's never won Elimination Chamber match. They started pushing that.
And we're going to talk about that in a second here. But let's talk about this, though. Batista is in the main event for WrestleMania 30. He doesn't have a match on the line, you know, against Alberto Del Rio. That match is not for the number one contendership. That's just a match, right? The thing is, last week, he came out and put Del Rio through a table, okay? Which people cheered because it was a table spot. This week, he pushed Del Rio into, you know, a bunch of boxes, right? And then nothing else, right? I mean, you didn't see him on TV after that, did you? Because I know I didn't.
I think Randy Orton was making fun of him, and then all of a sudden, Batista showed up behind him.
That was when he pushed Del Rio. That was his only segment on Raw. So
that was probably taped 2 weeks ago.
So the point is that Batista is in your main event and you are not even promoting him. Batista, all right? And so I think the problem here with WWE, it's not about who cares that he's in the main event. It's that you are not promoting this person. You're not saying, guess what, guys? You are going to see him wrestle. You are going to see him main event WrestleMania, the biggest pay-per-view of the year. They don't care. It's like they almost want him to fail. And so I wonder what's going to happen over the next, what is that, 6 weeks until WrestleMania? I really am curious. Like, I want to know what they're going to do, because right now my expectations are as low as they possibly can be.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think they're going to start treating pay-per-views as a special Monday Night Raws. And this is just... this pretty much is confirming my thoughts on it. Now, Cesaro got a lot of love backstage. In fact, a lot of people said he got a standing ovation back there. Cena said that was an awesome match.
For what, though?
For the match he had against Cena. And that's the awesome thing. So he got tons of praise because of it. People were just clapping and, like I said, standing ovation. But you could tell that he enjoyed it. You could tell just by the fans, they started saying, this match is awesome. The funny thing is, we knock Cena for only doing like five moves, but he is a perfectionist at those five moves.
It's not that. It's that Cena, when he has the right chemistry with the right people, you know, I said last week that, you know, there are certain people that have really great chemistry with each other. And Cena and Punk actually had really good chemistry. Their matches were always really good. Cena and Bryan's match was also really good. Here's the thing. Cena has so many matches with so many of the same people that it gets boring. How many times have we seen Cena Orton? You know, that's why that, like, their pay-per-view matches, I didn't care. I really did not care because, yeah, I've seen that a million times. You know, this is nothing special to me. But Cena versus Sandow, both the matches that I saw them in were both really good. And they both actually looked like really good wrestlers. And him against Cesaro was a good match. And we've seen it before. But this was also – it was still a good match as it was the previous time. So I think Cesaro does deserve this praise. The only thing I'm afraid of is that they're going to push him too quickly and then he's going to get just dropped to mid-card hell. And I think they need to be very careful with that. This was very good. It showcased Cesaro in the correct way. But move him on to a good feud that can help elevate him so that way when he takes on Cena next time, it's a pay-per-view match and not a Monday Night Raw match.
That's actually a good thought process there, dude. Now, are you even excited about the Elimination Chamber, dude? Or are you more excited that the WWE Network comes out the following day and you can watch pay-per-view at that time?
Well, no, the Elimination Chamber will not be on the network for 30 days, they said.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense because otherwise no one's going to buy the pay-per-view and they'll watch it the next day for free. Right. Well, for $10. Am I excited for it? Yes, because I think that they have a lot of really good matches lined up. But I got to ask you, are we on the same page for some of the big matches? I mean, Batista's going to win. what's another really big match? The Elimination Chamber, Randy Orton's going to win. I mean, is that those two matches in particular? Are you on the same page with me?
I hope that Daniel Bryan wins the Elimination Chamber.
But let me ask you, what do you think's actually going to happen?
This is a toughie.
You have to put $50 down right now, Andy. You have $50. Who are you putting it on? Everything's even. Everything's even.
I have to think about that.
Orton or Bryan?
I have to really think about it. In all seriousness, because I could see Orton winning it, but then you basically have a heel going against pretty much fans can't stand Batista right now. That's the thing I see. When they go to Raw in Chicago.
That doesn't matter, though.
I look at the big picture. I'm looking at like the dates leading up to it. The smart thing to do is put it on Daniel Bryan. Let Daniel Bryan face the heel Dave Batista.
But do you really think that a Batista-Bryan match is going to be
Daniel Bryan can a make good main event? Look, dude, Daniel Bryan can go in the ring and make you look like a million
here's
bucks.
Here's the thing. What was the main event last year?
If I don't remember it, it was Cena Rock.
What was the main event the year before that?
Cena Rock.
Okay. What was the main event the year before that? probably something with Cena, right? The main event CM before Punk? That, probably something before with Cena, all right? Here's the
thing. No, there's one where it was Triple H.
Yeah, Triple H and Orton, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Here's the thing. The point that I'm making is that it has to be big name stars. I like Daniel Bryan, and I think that he can become a household name potentially, but he is not a household name right now. And don't get me wrong, Batista and Orton aren't either, but they are more of a household name than Bryan is. They are. And I think if you have Bryan in there and it's a three-way, it would make more sense. But I don't. If I had to put money down right now, I'd put $100 down saying Randy Orton's going to walk out the champion.
Okay, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be Orton's pinning Cesaro. I'm sorry, Daniel Bryan's going to be pinning Cesaro. Randy Orton gets on top, and he says that he pinned both guys, and then they turn into a three-way.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. How? So Daniel Bryan will be on his back as well. Is what? No, you're saying.
That won't work. Actually,
well, it could. It could. If Daniel Bryan's on his back and he puts his arm on like Cesaro, Cesaro gets pinned 1, 2, 3, and like let's say Orton happened to have his hand.
I got it. Okay. Here's what happens: 1, 2, 3. They count the pinfall 1, 2, 3, and Daniel Bryan puts his foot on the rope or puts it right underneath the rope. So then it's considered a rope break.
It's Elimination Chamber. I don't know if there really is a rope break in it.
Then why is there a ref?
To count 1, 2, 3, or just for the submission. I got to know, Orton or Daniel Bryan? Who are you putting your money down on?
Daniel Bryan.
You would put $50 down right now?
In all seriousness, I would. Yeah, I know. Okay. Wow. But dude, that's the thing. I actually believe that you have to put it on the hot product. You have people chanting yes, yes at everywhere now.
Do you think it would be a bigger deal to have him win at Elimination Chamber or WrestleMania?
If he won it at WrestleMania, but the thing is, how are you going to put him in that match? Because you know that Batista at some point in his contract states that he's going to win the title at WrestleMania. I just know that that's what was put in there, which is crap. But Daniel Bryan, if he won at WrestleMania, it would be the biggest thing. But yeah, how do you put him in the match? There has to be some swerve at the end of the Elimination Chamber in order to put Bryan into that match. How do you do it?
Wouldn't be at Elimination Chamber. They'd probably do it on Raw. They would have to do something else. But anyway, Andy, in the interest of time, let's thank our sponsor.
HostGator, are you a blogger or podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So when do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark page. You're going to click on the banner at the top to save big on items at WWEShop.com. Let's talk about some Impact Wrestling. So Team Dixie versus Team MVP for controlling state of TNA. What do you think?
So, so Team Dixie is going to take on Team MVP at Lethal Lockdown. And I got to ask you, are you excited about this at all?
Care less.
So you don't want to see, like, I mean, it's going to be a 4-on-4 match. It's going to be some of the biggest names, the biggest faces versus the biggest heels. You're not excited about that?
Honestly, I don't care. Like, TNA to me, even MVP being there, to me has bored me. Now, them talking, you know, with them working on this match to build, like building it up, they have to sell to me more. Because to me, I just don't care. I mean, they have a while. They have, I think, 3 or 4 weeks, 4 weeks, I think it is, to like sell it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I will let you know in a few weeks.
Okay.
Because they have to build towards it. That's the thing. I think that if you only have a handful of pay-per-views a year, besides the one-night onlys, you have to build matches properly. And if this is not built properly, who cares?
Well, but they are actually doing some innovative stuff with the one-night onlys. You know, it's actually kind of funny. You know, whenever we suggest something and then it actually happens, I always love that. TNA is doing one where it's TNA versus, I believe it's Wrestle One, I want to say is the name of the company.
Yes, Wrestle One.
TNA is going to take on Wrestle One. I even said the one night onlys, honestly, were stupid because I don't really care about that unless it's something that makes sense. Like if I said, I believe if it was TNA versus Ring of Honor, that's a pay-per-view, even if it was already, you know, taped and everything, I would probably buy because I would want to see what would happen. And so, you know, I think that that's, of course, a different subject altogether. I think that Lockdown will be kind of a cool. I think that depending on the full team, because I think that they had some people in there, but they didn't have all of them ready to go. I think it could be a good event, and it could be a really good match. Although MVP is going to win for sure. MVP's team. So, Andy, the Wolves got another win, and then this time it was over your boys, the Bad Influence. Better match this time, I think, than the last one. But what do you think? I mean, are they doing a good job building them?
You know, so far. But, you know, I see them actually saying that they want the tag titles too early. And this is going to happen. That's the sad part about the situation. It's great that they went against Bad Influence. I'm glad Bad Influence put them over because realistically they don't have to, but they can put someone over and they still look good because everyone likes their the Demeter, you know, their swag or whatever you want to call it. They just put that off and it looks cool. So, you know, this is one of those things, dude. Like I'm so anti TNA right now. I can't really talk about it without getting mad.
Why? They have some of the best wrestling. They have some of the best wrestlers there. In my opinion, I think TNA has more talented wrestlers on their roster than WWE does.
Okay, that is truthful because they will actually do things that you don't see in WWE. And that's the thing. They're an alternative. Ring of Honor is an alternative because they do things that WWE doesn't. WWE basically dumps down wrestling. And TNA says, we're going to do whatever we want within reason. And then Ring of Honor's like, we don't care. Just be safe. With TNA, they do have the best.
I would disagree about the Ring of Honor statement there, but.
Oh, come on. All right. So TNA. All right. You are right. For the Knockouts, hands down, the Knockouts are the best women wrestlers anywhere. The Knockouts are way better than the Divas. Hands down, the best. I'm just going to say that right off the bat. Okay. The wrestlers they have, they're good, but I think they've told them to dumb down their style because they don't want to be an alternative to WWE programming. That's where I find the problem with them because I've seen a lot of these matches already. Granted, not a lot of people have, but even with the American Wolves, not all their matches, but majority of them, and it seemed that they were still going through the regular motions. This match was better, though. This match.
But here's the thing. I haven't, though. I started watching Ring of Honor, I think it was in December, like late November, early December, is when I finally got it here in Seattle. Mm-hmm. That's when I finally got it. And when I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is, you know, interesting. I think I saw one or two matches with them. One or two matches. It's the equivalent, honestly, you mentioned Chris Jericho earlier, going from WCW to WWF at the time. Guess what? We already saw those matches. Yeah, you know, we saw him wrestle that way. We saw him wrestle like that before. But he's wrestling new people. Same thing. The Wolves haven't wrestled Bad Influence. All right? They haven't. And that's cool to see them wrestle them.
And
so,
okay,
I mean, who cares if it's
the... The neat part about it, though, was the fact that it's Ring of... To me, it felt like Ring of Honor versus Ring of Honor. Even though I don't think Kaz was ever... or I don't think Kazarian was ever in Ring of Honor. But, of course... I can't think of his name.
Daniels
at one point was. And to me, that was kind of cool because it showed that... Nothing passing the torch, but basically stating that we're going to put you over because we see money in you. And because we see money in you, we see money in ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's how I thought about the match. But to me, I've seen this match before, but it was better. That's even last week, even rewatching the match.
Yeah, you like Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan right now, he is one of the most repetitive wrestlers on Raw on SmackDown.
Yes.
He does the exact same thing over and over again. You want to talk about Five Moves of Doom? Daniel Bryan does that. Well, guess what? You still watch every one of his matches, even though it's repetitive. It's the same thing over and over and over again. But you know what? You get to see him in different situations. You get to see him wrestle different people. If it is, you know, like a different person.
Okay.
And those are exciting matches still. So why? I mean, I don't like your argument.
I look at it from a different perspective. All right. I like to use the Matt Striker headlock thing where the guy, he just kept putting guy in a headlock for 5 minutes. When he finally got out, he got the biggest pop of the night.
Okay, Daniel Bryan will do the same stuff, but let's say someone's working on his arm, like when this match with Christian. Christian worked on his arm. When he tried to put the LaBelle lock on him, he couldn't.
Yes.
He actually had to use the knee. Okay,
I really like that.
To me, that's the psychology part of it. I was like, that's awesome. Like, he couldn't do anything. He kept selling it. It wasn't like, you know, like he got his entire left arm worked on the entire time, and then Edge was able to get the spear with his left arm, and then it was okay. Then he's like, oh, now it hurts. Okay, come on. That's how I look at matches.
Here's the thing, though. The Wolves, yes, you've seen that before.
Okay, but
like you said last week, 10% of TNA's audience has not seen that. Or I'm sorry, 90% hasn't seen that. Only 10% has seen that. So if anything else, guess what? This is my third Wolves match I've seen. So if anything else, I'm happy about that. So anyway, belaboring that point, Magnus, he actually defeated Gunner because James Storm decided to turn on him. So Storm is kind of a heel again. What do you think?
Are they going to use it for the tag titles? Or did he actually say that, hey, you're going to be my tag partner when we cash these in? Because if he didn't say it, then...
You know what I want to see?
What?
It'll be a good storyline right here.
Bring Crimson back?
You have Storm at Lockdown. Have Storm face Gunner for the briefcase.
Good idea.
Storm wins the briefcase. Then you have the Wolves win over the Bromans. They win the tag titles. Albeit a little too early, but they still win the tag titles. And then you have Storm
and Rude
beer money cash in the briefcase over the Wolves, win the titles.
Okay, I like that idea. And especially if you do that match early and then have that match later, and then you have beer money, you know, like after the American Wolves are done, they're all hurt, and then they decide, hey, we're going to cash in right at this moment. So guess what? Get up, wimps, and then bam, beer money's back.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, well, you know, what are they doing with Bobby Roode now? I don't think they're doing anything. He was doing his stuff with Angle, but I think that's done.
Yeah, that was done. But now he was trying to, get in the main event and win the main event and win the championship. But that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So this, I think, would be a good kind of segue for him to go off into. So
even if it's for a few months, it'd be kind of cool to see Beer Money back.
I think so too. I like Beer Money.
I think they're great heels too. So
yeah. So weekly topic, Andy, I wanted to talk about this past weekend. A buddy of mine and I got to go see Mick Foley do his comedy show.
Oh, I didn't know you actually went, dude. I thought you just said you were talking about going.
Mick Foley is in Seattle, and I'm not going to go see him.
I'm sorry.
Really? Like, I'm not going to go see him.
Really?
Of course I'm going to go see him. So anyway, the Mick Foley comedy show. The first thing I'm going to tell you is I think that you should go see it. I think it was interesting. I think that he is a good enough storyteller that it keeps you captivated. But it felt like listening to a wrestling podcast because he only had like 40 minutes or so. And so I wanted more. Like, I really wanted to have a lot more time with him. And I felt that the time was too short because there was a Q&A session. And we had a woman ask a question about his work with Tori Amos. And I was like, yeah. So apparently he did he did hotline work where it was like for, I think, like rape victims and stuff like that. So really serious stuff. And this is a wrestling crew. People were wearing Daniel Bryan shirts, CM Punk. There was a Yes chant that went on in a small comedy club. I mean, it was crazy. Right. And this woman who is not a wrestling fan, she even prefaced her question with that. She asked him about his Tori Amos work, and you could kind of tell that Mick had not been asked that question in a long time. And so he was actually really excited. And so he was like, oh, yeah, let me tell you about it. And he went 10 minutes about this whole Tori Amos thing. And everybody else is like, we don't care. Like, that sucks.
Okay,
like all that stuff. But come on, this is wrestling, you know?
I have no idea. What is that, like a rape victim hotline?
It was something like
I was confused. I was like, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, so it was like really intense stuff, and it's like we came here for a good time. Like, you know, when you go to a comedy show, people don't go, hey, I want to tell you a story about my mother dying, you know? Like, I mean, that's gonna bring the house down just a little. Just a little. Okay. So
did they start chanting no afterwards? Oh, after 5 minutes? You know, no. Actually, no.
My buddy and I were doing that. We're like, no, no, no. He had some really funny stories that he told. He talked about riding with Jake the Snake Roberts. He told a really funny story about Jake the Snake urinating on him. And then he told a really funny story about DDP and Steve Austin. They used to split a room together. Three of them in one room. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So he's very frugal.
Wait, you're talking about later in WWE, right?
I think it was in WCW. I could be wrong. But they were talking about it, and he's very frugal. They would get a room at the Econolodge. And so he said that with three people, it was $10 each, you know, and, you know, we could do it with two, but that saved us $5. And five times 300, that's $1,500. And so $1,500, that's a lot of money to save. So it was kind of funny how he rationalized it, you know, but he told some really, really funny stories. The only thing I wish, though, is that, like I said, I wish that could have gone longer. So if you can see Mick Foley do his comedy show, highly, highly recommend it.
Okay, I got to ask, did they start asking about the CM Punk situation and what he said to him?
Here's the problem. The Q&A section, I think he did two questions because of the Tori Amos one.
Seriously?
Yeah, because the last question that was asked was about, they said, like, it's WrestleMania season and, you know, people talk about having a WrestleMania moment. What was your WrestleMania moment? And so he said it was, what do you think? Well, first of all, let me ask you that. What do you think is his WrestleMania moment?
It would have to be something with The Rock.
Really?
I'm missing. What am I missing?
Edge spearing him through a flaming table.
Oh, that's right. So that's that was his best.
Yeah.
Considering the flame went out in 2 seconds, in like as soon as he hit it.
They had people there, though, ready to go. And yeah. But anyway, it was good, though. I highly recommend to see it if it ever comes to your area.
So how long was it with the Q&A? Was it an hour long then?
Maybe, you know, like I would say, like I said, I think he answered two, maybe three questions. And no one asked about CM Punk. No one asked about Daniel Bryan. I was really disappointed with that. And, you know,
no picture handshake.
No, I got a picture with him.
Oh, you did? Dude, I send it. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Dude, I told you all about that. Dude, why do you think this is our topic?
I thought you meant that you were gonna go, and I thought it was this weekend. I didn't realize it was last weekend, because I was gonna ask you, like, how much did it cost? Like, I'd be all over you about it. So, like, what, how much did it cost?
It's $25. It was cheap.
That is cheap.
Yeah,
I'm surprisingly, dude, I thought you were gonna say $45.
I wouldn't have paid that much for it.
Although, thought you would have.
You know what's funny is he had one show. The first one sold out, and so they had to add a second one. I didn't buy my tickets because I didn't know that they were gonna sell out. I was just gonna wait. And then they were like, oh, yeah, we're sold out. And I was like, whoa, what? And then they added the second show, luckily. So, but like I said, if you have a chance, definitely go see Mick Foley in his stand-up.
All right. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.